Good evening, and thanks for coming out tonight. Being away from North America, you forget about the existence of Super Bowl, because for the last 2 years, no one cared about this event that is happening tonight. And also, a fun fact, Super Bowl, I think the highest amount of viewers in Super Bowl, I think, was 130 million. And tonight might be that, for the first time ever, they might actually push that further. But just to let you know that the finals for cricket this year, last year, 300 million people watched it. So I would like that bar to be beaten tonight, if that's even possible. Probably not. That's my guess. But it's grateful to be up here this morning, sorry, this evening, and just to speak to you from the Word of God. We really appreciate the prayers for us and the encouragement spiritually and materially, the wonderful meals that you've all given us. All the meals were excellent. I would never dare to rank them. It was a great testimony to the unsaved in our family as well. And the meals really, you know, he gave us a lot of free time, and gave us free time to spend with Matthias and also with my family, with our friends as well. It also gave us time for rest and time to find sleep. So it was great. So meals were awesome. Thank you for that. And it was also a, you know, for Amanda and I, a time to witness the joy that a newborn brings. As you've noticed, Matthias is a bundle of joy, and he's just not a bundle of joy. He's also, there are some challenges that come with him on the side as well. As parents, as new parents, you expect testing and trials, and that's just part of being new parents. And you learn a lot of new lessons through this process. And it's hard to know what to expect before the child arrives, but it's very obvious once the child arrives what the newborn life is all about. Once he made his grand appearance, he showed us what the challenges and the testing is going to be. But we're so grateful for him, and Amanda and I have been reminding each other of these three words as we deal with these new challenges and also the joy of him. But especially in the time of challenges, we remind each other of these three words, prayer, patience, and perseverance. And those are the words that have kind of helped us stay focused and continue on in this new journey that we're on at the moment together. And this evening, what I'd like to speak about is the first word, prayer, because it is probably the only reason why I'm standing up here this morning, this evening, because without prayer, we would be in miserable shape. I would be very discouraged, and we're so thankful for the ability that we have to speak with the Lord. So this study really has helped me understand the importance of prayer. It's really helped me understand and appreciate prayer, and it has also shed light on both Amanda and I on the need to pray more and the importance of prayer in our spiritual life. So before we investigate prayer. Actually, before, I'm going to look at the model prayer that's found in Matthew, but before we get there, I kind of want to talk about what is prayer, and we'll do that by a children's song. Now, the children's songs, I've been fond of children's songs for, I'm sure you know why. They're very simple, and I'm trying to find good songs for Matthias so I can sing to him in a horrible way, but he doesn't understand music yet or tone. So this is a song that really, I think, helps in terms of understanding what is prayer. It says this: did you ever talk to God above? Tell him that you need a friend to love. Praying Jesus' name, believing that God answers prayer. Have you told him all your cares and woes? Every tiny little fear he knows. You can know he'll always hear, and he will answer prayer. You can whisper in a crowd to him. You can cry when you're alone to him. You don't have to pray aloud to him. He knows your thoughts. On a lofty mountain peaks, he's there. In a meadow by a stream, he's there. Anywhere on earth you go, he's been there from the start. Find the answer in his word. It's true. You'll be strong because he walks with you. By his faithfulness, he'll change you too. God answers prayer. And I think this really helps with the definition of, or what is prayer? That question can be answered with just the lyrics of this wonderful children's song. I think prayer, what is prayer? It's the act of talking to God, our Father. What do? We tell him our needs. So in this case, this is a children's song. Tell him that you need a friend to love. We tell him, we submit our fears to him as well. That's what the fifth line says. Have you told him all your cares and woes? And then what are we doing by praying? We're expressing our faith in him, that he listens and he answers. When can we pray? And that's the second part of the children's song. It's that we can pray in a crowd, when you're alone or out loud. There is no, compared to other religions in this world, there's a set time, you got to look at a certain way. But for us as believers, we can pray at any time. And what is the result? I think the result is the best part. By his faithfulness, he'll change you to, he changes us, he strengthens us, and he answers us. So this is prayer, talking to God, directly addressing him. We make our requests known. We express our faith in him. We believe that he listens and answers. We talk to him from anywhere. We witness a change in our lives. So with that in mind, this is what prayer is. With that in mind, we'll look at the model prayer. So we'll go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 to 13. This passage also is recorded in Luke as well. So I'll just read this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this, our daily bread, and we forgive us, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this is the model prayer, and model is a proposed structure. And we find the structure in this passage, and also in Luke, as I said. And the context of this passage is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And he's speaking to them about personal prayer. And for us, we are given a structure that we can put into practice. So we're given this structure, this proposed structure in this model prayer. And we will kind of look at the breakdown of this. So after reading this, let's, for a couple of times, I try to figure out a good outline for this. And this is what I've come to. I think verse 9 and 10 speaks of worship, and verse 11 and 13 speaks of petition, and petition can be broken down to, there are physical material needs in verse 11, asking for daily bread, and then spiritual needs, spiritual request, verse 12 and 13. So let's turn our attention to verse 9 and 10, because it speaks to us, that structure speaks to us of worship. It says, hallowed be your name. In other words, sacred is his name. An acknowledgement from the start by saying that there is no name that is above his name. So there is no name that is holy as his name. There's uniqueness to his name. There is no, we know from the prayer in the Old Testament that Hannah made, she said, there is no name like his. There's none beside him, right? So there is nothing like it, there is no name like his name. So we get that idea right off the start in verse 9. And I want to suggest that verse 9, the way it starts, that we see our prayer, we start by bowing down with words and acknowledging that he is above all things. And I think that's the idea that verse 9 teaches us. Let's come down to verse 10. We see the idea of bowing down continue. We say we want to see his kingdom come. His will be done. The model prayer he taught the disciples to start with bowing down with his word, acknowledging that he's above all things. We want to see his kingdom come. We want to see his will will done. So one of the things that stood out to me is that the model prayer, that we start by acknowledging, we start by bowing down with our words. And the word, bowing down is essentially it is the very definition of the word worship. We find that in Genesis chapter 18, verse 2, when the Lord appeared to Abraham, we see he bowed down, and that's worship. He showed his reverence by bowing down. Then in Genesis 22, verse 5, we see that Isaac and Abraham are on their way up to the mountain, far off. Yeah, he had servants that came with him, and Abraham told the servants to stay, and Isaac and Abraham are going to make their way up to go afar off. And he said he's going to go worship. And what do we see? We see Abraham going I forget the name of the mountain, but anyways, he's going far off with Isaac to offer a burnt offering. And we know the story of what happened. It was an Isaac that was offered as a burnt offering. We know it was a ram. So we see this idea from bowing down in Genesis 18 extend to Genesis 22, verse 5, where there's an offering. So bowing down and offering. Let's see this. And this idea just doesn't exist in the Old Testament. It actually exists in the New Testament as well. Let's come down to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. We think of the wise men, right? What do they do? They said to Herod, we're going to go worship. And then they went and bowed down and offered gifts. Again, we see this idea, in the idea of worship, where we bow down and offer. Now, we also learn that for us, what do we offer? I believe what we offer is thanksgiving and praise. So let's come to Hebrews chapter 13. I'll read that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the fruit of our lips is to praise and to give thanks to his name. The idea for us in this age is to, in our words, we bow down and we offer praise and thanksgiving. And that idea also is seen in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. We are to submit our petitions with thanksgiving. And that is very clear there as well. Also, it's well illustrated in Revelation chapter 11, it's good for us to turn there. Revelation chapter 11, verse 16. And it's at 16 to 19, 18 is what I'll read. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their throne fell on their face and worshiped God. And this is their offering, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants and the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, that and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So we see this again illustrated so well. And one of the things I've noticed also in the book of Revelation is where we see a lot of the word worship often in the New Testament. So it's a good place to study the word worship. When you continue the study of the word worship in the New Testament, we also see the word serve come alongside with it as well. And it was the response that Christ had for Satan when he was being tempted. He said, you should only worship the Lord your God and serve him. And serve, again, not a word for offer, right? Serve, it's a word for offer. And I think we see this idea over and over again about offering, serving our thanksgiving and our praise. That is the sacrifice that we bring, the fruit of our lips is that. So I'll pause there in terms of the talking about worship. I think there's much more that can be said. There are many verses that point to this idea of bowing down and offering. And Philippians 4:6, I already mentioned that, but it's this idea that, again, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So I think the model prayer that disciples received, and we as his disciples, we see the structure of it starts with bowing down and offering our praise and thanksgiving. It tells us about acknowledging that he's above all things. Now you might be sitting there thinking, okay, so does that mean I have to always start with this idea of, okay, if I don't start with worship, then my prayer is wrong? Like, that is not what I'm trying to say. It's important. It's a good practice to give him thanks and praise. No one would disagree with that. And God's not up there looking at a rubric of this is how you're supposed to pray. And if you don't say praise and thanksgiving items, then your prayer, I'm not going to listen to you. That is not the case, right? We do our best. And it's always a good practice to praise him and to give him thanks. I'll give you a real life example that has helped us. I know we have a prayer request, and that is that that Matthias would eat more. But we found that while we asked the Lord for that request, we are praying and acknowledging that his hands are the hands that formed him in his mother's womb, right? And that's heavy. That's the thing that makes me adore and appreciate the Lord. And that's the same hand that made him is the hand that I'm submitting my request to. And I think that's why it's essential that we start with bowing down with our words and giving him praise and thanks, because it really helps us to appreciate and know who we're submitting our requests to. And I think that really helps our prayer life as we enjoy and appreciate and tell him how excellent he is and how marvelous he is, and then we submit our requests to him. So that the disciples were taught that, and I think it's a good practice for us as well to start our prayer with bowing down and offering him our praise and thanksgiving. Verse 11 and 13, I said verse 11, it's material, asking for daily bread, asking for needs, and I mean, we all know this really well. For the longest time, I thought the only thing you do in prayer is ask for things that I needed, and that's not the case, as we've already noticed. And it's interesting too for me. I've been thinking about when I ask the Lord for things, petition. When I petition, should I be asking for needs or should I be asking for wants? Because you know, Mark 11:24, it says, and it's the King James says it not as well as the new one. It says, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive, and ye shall have them." So I've been quoted this verse at times when people say, "Oh, pray and whatever the desire of your heart is, you'll get it." I don't think that's the idea there. When we ask for needs, and I think needs are the priority. But if it's not in his purpose, or if it doesn't align with his desires, because his desires matters way more than our desires, so it has to align with his purpose. So in terms of material need, I think we ask for needs, and maybe not once, is what I have gathered so far. If you have found something else that tells us that from the Word of God that we can ask for once, please let me know. Verse 12 and 13 talks about, I think it talks about spiritual prayer request. So the first point would be repentance. And it's not talking about financial debt. It's talking about the idea of repentance. So when we go astray, or when we have done something that has made us go astray from our relationship with the Lord, we need to repair that. And that repairing comes from asking for forgiveness, asking for forgiveness. So sin keeps us far from the Lord, and to grow closer in our walk with him, repentance is necessary. And Psalm 51 is a great example of a prayer of repentance by David. Then the next point I want to talk about is trials. It talks about don't lead us into temptation. And I think that's a sincere cry of a believer. We don't want to lead into testing and temptation. And I don't want to be tested all the time. Like, I know it helps produce patience and it helps us grow, but I think it's a sincere cry of a believer that, you know, not to be let down into testing. And we've learned this really well. A couple of weeks ago, Kevin spoke about this, the idea of tempting. The Lord doesn't tempt us with evil because there is no evil in him. And I'm sure that's fresh in your mind. So it is for us to grow. It produces patience, and patience produces whatever is lacking in our faith. So that's what it says in James 1, verse 2 and 4. And the last point of that verse is deliverance, that there's a cry to the Lord to deliver us from the evil one, and he will always deliver us. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So there's deliverance from our Lord when we are tempted. So it is good to ask for these are spiritual requests. We are asking the Lord for, we're repenting, we're asking for his strength during trial, we're asking for deliverance during times of need. Now, this is the outline. I think this is the proposed structure that we see in the model prayer. We have this worship, bowing down and offering our praise and thanksgiving, and further, we have that material request that we make to the Lord. We also have spiritual requests that we make to the Lord. So let me just get back on track. Okay. Now, we have the structure, and that's excellent. That's lovely. But where do we find the words to offer our praise and thanksgiving? And are there further examples? Are only all of our spiritual requests always, Lord, don't lead us into temptation? Is that it? Is there more to it than that? So we'll look into some content in terms of what are some things that we can find in God's word in terms of words to offer as praise and thanksgiving. And also, let's look at some examples of spiritual prayer requests that we can echo in our prayers as well. So let's look at worship. To start, in terms of our investigation to find the words for worship, for praise and thanksgiving, we kind of have to learn who is the object of worship, right? And we know, I'm sure you all know, the object of worship is the person of Christ. And where do we get that answer? And I think that answer is found in, again, Revelation chapter 5. So let's turn there. We'll read that. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 11 to 14. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And we know the Lamb, the one that is standing, that stood before them, is the object of worship. And we know and that is the person of Christ. And so when we look for words and items for praise and thanksgiving, we need to know, okay, what are we looking for? And we're looking for items that point us to praise and thanksgiving to the object that is Christ. Now, we can find a massive list of content in terms of our Lord, and I think I'm just going to give you a few. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. It says this, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So here are some items for praise, right? He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than heavens. That is just one verse. There's much more we can glean from that. How about Hebrews chapter 1? If you go there, there are items of praise and thanksgiving that we can offer to our Lord. We learn in Hebrews chapter 1 that he upholds the world by the word of his power. We understand that he purged our sins. Nothing until Christ purged sin. He has purged our sin. So we see all these lovely items that we find throughout the Bible that are great for praise and thanksgiving that we can offer up to our Lord. One of the things that someone that came up to me once, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but I said, "Hey, like, where do you find attributes of Christ that that you can offer up in praise and thanksgiving?" And he said, "You should try memorizing the book of Hebrews." I said, "Oh, okay." I was kind of taken back. I thought he was just joking. So I went home and read it. I haven't tried to memorize it. I went home and read it, and I just was struck by the amount of things that we find in the book of Hebrews that just helps us in our praise and in our thanksgiving. So if you want to memorize the book of Hebrews, do it. I have attempted last year. Last year's New Year's resolution was to memorize the book of Hebrews. How far have I gotten? To verse 6 of chapter 1. This year's resolution is to memorize the book of Hebrews. How far have I gotten? The same spot. So I would appreciate prayer for that. So it is a great, great book to memorize. If you like to memorize books of the Bible, I would highly recommend that. There's more I can say in terms of items of praise and thanksgiving, but I'm just going to leave that for you to find, because it is a thrilling exercise. What I often do is, as I read through scripture, I would just make a note of, okay, here's an item of praise and thanksgiving. And I would write them down and pray it verbatim. And I know you might think, oh, this is way too, like, Silas, come on. This is too much structure, and you're doing it as this, like, too logical, whatever it is. It has been a great amount of joy that has been in my life just to read and to gather items of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And there's never a shortage of content, I'll tell you that much. Even in Leviticus, you'll find content for praise and thanksgiving. Okay, so with that in mind, I'm just going to move on, because I think you'll have enough items to find when you go home. Because, you know, you're going to go home and you're going to do some homework, which is to find items of praise and thanksgiving right after this. So in terms of content, or what are some spiritual prayer requests? We discussed temptation. We discussed that was in the Lord's Prayer. Let's talk about petitions other than that we find in the Bible. And one of the things that we find that Paul was very good at doing this. And we'll turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Lord. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer. Like, it's not like, oh, out of your riches, give me something all. He is asking, Paul is asking the Lord for the saints in Ephesus, for them to have spiritual strength, for them to know what the depth, the height, the breadth, and the width of the love of Christ. I hope you pray that I understand the depth, the width, the height, and the breadth of the love of Christ. And, you know, I pray for us as an assembly, for us to understand the depth, the height, the breadth, and the width of love of Christ, right? What an amazing prayer request that is for us to be strengthened with not just a little bit, with might in our spiritual walk. Because it really helps us, you know, grow and be mature and to really enjoy the Lord. So that's an excellent, you can do a whole message on just that passage, those verses, but it's a lovely prayer request by Paul for the church in Ephesus, and we can definitely echo that prayer. Also, Philippians chapter 1, 9 to 11, it's another prayer request by Paul for the church at Philippi, and the idea here is this, I won't read the passage, but it says, the idea is that for them, for their love to grow more and more for our Redeemer in knowledge and in all discernment. And it's interesting for me, you know, love always associated with an emotion. It doesn't talk about in emotion. It says in knowledge and discernment, which I found interesting. So our love for him is grounded in knowledge, and it helps us discern what is good, what is pleasing, and it helps us be mighty servants for him. Also, the next one I found was in Colossians chapter 1, again, 9 to 11. This prayer that Paul is making to the church at Colossae, we can echo the prayer as well. The idea of, Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will, so that we have spiritual understanding and wisdom. And it's interesting because you know, it's one thing to know his will. It's excellent to know, to have a knowledge of his will. But it's another thing to understand, to comprehend, and to have wisdom to carry out his will. So it is, again, another amazing prayer that Paul has requested to the Lord in behalf of the church at Colossae. So again, I often pray this prayer that the Lord would reveal or fill us with the knowledge of his will. Because we want to know what he wants us to do. We don't want to do things. I was always someone, again, another person in my life told me this. A lot of people are quick to start something to help people, but they never consult with the Lord before they start. And that has always stayed with me. So hence, I always find much joy in this verse to ask for his will, to know his will, to have the knowledge of his will in terms of, should I carry this out or not? And I'll tell you this, I've always, never without fail, received wisdom and understanding on what his will was. So it's a great prayer there. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, he will give you wisdom. And it's, again, another prayer to ask the Lord for, prayer request to ask the Lord for wisdom. I found this one interesting as well. Luke 24:45. This is after the road to Emmaus, where he prays, not prays, sorry, the Lord opens their eyes so they can comprehend Scripture. We can, in our prayer, ask the Lord to open our eyes and comprehend God's word. And I think as you prepare, for me, when I prepare something like this, it's something that I have to do more and more often, is to pray and ask the Lord so that I may comprehend what the word of God is saying, that I may not misapply or take things out of context. And I think it's such a great prayer request. So with all that in mind, I just want to close with some very practical application in regards to prayer. We know there is the model prayer gives us a structure. There's worship, there's spiritual petition, there's material petition, and we know in God's word we find wonderful items about his son that we can use for praise and thanksgiving. We also find some excellent examples of spiritual petitions that Paul made on behalf of the many assemblies in the New Testament, and we can use them all and ask the Lord the same request. One of the things that I would encourage you with is this: if you're not in the habit of praying, I would highly recommend the activity of praying. It is not a bad idea to read and write down some of the requests that you find or the items of praise and thanksgiving that you find, and just have it in your hand and close your eyes or open your eyes or whatever you do. You can do it in your discretion. You have liberty in that area, and just pray and have those notes with you. This is very simple, right? It's not a very difficult task, and I think it's a worthwhile task. And I often forget to pray. I'm very good at opening the Bible, reading, closing it, and being distracted very easily. Now, this is going to sound silly, but I have a reminder every morning to pray, because if I don't have the reminder, I forget. And so, again, I know I'm doing a lot of things that are very intentional, and I think it is a good thing for all of us to be very intentional when it comes to spiritual things. If that means to write a reminder on your calendar, do it. It's going to be far, it's going to be a great investment of your time. So I would highly recommend doing that. So I know I didn't talk much about the idea of assembly prayer. That's because in the model prayer, it's talking about the personal prayer. But there's not much we can find in God's word in terms of assembly prayer, because I think personal prayer carries into the assembly. And I've thought a lot about prayer in the assembly just over the last many years. I made many little notes, and some of the things I've gathered in terms of just practical, very practical things is this: don't worry about new phrases and trying to be original and fresh. I thought I had to say fancy things when I got up to pray. You don't have to. And I know it's simple. Captain Obvious, yes, you don't have to. But I wish it was something I realized when I was young. Be sincere with what you know. Be diligent in seeking to know more. Whatever you know, offer that to the Lord. When whatever you don't know, well, be diligent in going and finding those things. Another thing too is God knows his word. Like, it's his word. And we can offer his word to him, and he's not going to be like, oh, well, no, you need to have a new twist to the truth that I've revealed. No, you can, if you really want to, memorize a verse and offer it to the Lord. He's not going to say, well, you just copied my word. No, he wants you to take what he's given you and give it back to him. That's the idea in regards to thanksgiving and praise. No one's timing you when you're praying. And I always thought you had to have a long prayer. If you don't have a long prayer, it looks like you're unprepared. You're not prepared, or you don't know what you're talking about. It's okay to actually have a short prayer. I remember being in that room after prayer meetings for discipleship group thing that we did with a bunch of guys. And someone would always say, if you just get up and say one thing and sit down, that's all we care about. And I didn't realize how simple and good that was until now. It just no one's timing you. You can just get up, say one thing, and sit down, and no one would care. It would actually be ideal to keep it short and give other people a chance. I have had the wonderful privilege of hearing people pray for 15 minutes, and some are good at it. Shockingly, some are good at it, but not majority are not. So it's good to keep it short. This was my excuse all the time for not getting up and praying. In that discipleship group, this was my excuse. I would say, well, so-and-so got up and prayed, so I can't pray it again. Like, the Lord already knows all of our requests before we even ask. So if three of us get up and say the same prayer, he's not going to be annoyed at the fact that we prayed for the same thing over and over again. So, get up, exercise that prayer. But I think, again, back to personal prayer. If that's not in the right place, well, don't worry about the assembly. Fix that first. And then all will be well when you're gathered with the saints. No one is, and these are things that I've found very helpful. So, and no one's correcting your grammar. If we were correcting your grammar, if every assembly was to correct grammar of the person that got up and prayed, I think they would all have enough money to fund a football team. Because we get up, like, to me, I'll tell you exactly what happens when I get up and close my eyes. I forget everything that I wanted to say. And I fumble, and that's okay. That's perfectly honest. Who are you offering the sacrifice to? Not to the men or the women that are sitting beside you. It is to the Lord, right? He knows your heart. He knows that you're sincere, that the things you're saying are from the bottom of your heart. And I always say this to people. I tell you to myself, in anything that I do, put your best effort forward and be diligent in growing. Don't be satisfied with, okay, I put my best effort, this is my best effort, I'm done trying. But continue in that, in diligence to grow and to get better, right? There are prayers that, I'm sure in 4 years from now, Matthias will pray, but that prayer is not going to be the same when he's 16 years old, right? So it's good for us to grow in our prayer, in our personal and in when we gather together. And the last and final thing that I just want to leave with you is this. It's found in another children's song. It's very simple. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. That is so simple. So this song, children's song, was a song that a brother wanted to sing with the kids in the assembly back in Melbourne. And he said, for some reason, I ended up in the back with the PowerPoint. I have no idea how that happened. But I was in there, and he said, oh, Salas, can you go to this place and copy the lyrics from this website and put it on the PowerPoint slides? In 15 minutes, I need to do the song with the kids. So I'm copying this song, and I tell you, that struck me. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Simple. It is very important for us to read our Bibles every day, to pray every day, because without that, you will never grow. And in my journey of learning what prayer is, that has been the biggest lesson. The structure is there. It's easy. Worship. There's petitions that you make. That's easy. But it is the daily, the prayer without ceasing. It's the reading God's word and learning about his son and the wonderful things that he has done for us is what helps us grow as believers, or else we'll shrink, shrink, shrink. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for your word and just how simply it tells us about prayer and how that you listen and that you answer. And we're so grateful, Father, that we can come to you from anywhere, at any time, and that you look at our heart when we come to you in prayer. And we're so grateful for your son, because without him, we would not have this privilege of prayer, that we would never be able to come directly to you and address you. And we're so grateful for that perfect approach that your son has given us by the work that was done on the cross of Calvary. We're so grateful for this evening, and we just ask that you would help everyone that was listening to your word, that they may understand what you had to say to them. I pray all this in your son's name. Amen.